what's going on, and then we'll start from there. But basically, we were getting ready. Our visas expired December the 3rd, and we were actually making plans at the beginning of November to go to Mongolia to get new visas and come back. But then we found out that Russia had passed a new law, and first of all, we had to come back to the United States to get visas. And then secondly, the new law says with a multi-entry one-year visa, we could only come back to Russia for 3 months, then we had to leave for 3 months, then we could come back for 3 months, and then leave for 3 months. So on a one-year visa, we can only be in Russia for 180 days. Now, why do they call it a one-year visa? I don't understand politics. I'm not a politician, and sometimes I get, I kind of chase rabbits, amen, and get into politics a little bit, but I don't stay there very long, and I tell the Russians I'm not a politician, I'm a preacher, and I'm not here to tell you what Mr. Bush is doing. I'm here to tell you what Jesus has done, amen, and what he's getting ready to do. And so anyhow, to make a long story short, and I guess I say that, my wife says I say that a lot. Well, believe me, I'm just trying to give you everything here. And about the preacher said I could go till about 9:30, so I'm trying to get you out of here a little bit early. All right, I'm just kidding. Don't anybody leave. So anyhow, I'll try to get you out of here on time. Amen. Whatever that means. All right, preacher. All right. Okay. So anyhow, we ended up coming back to Russia, and of course, to back up just a minute, in the middle of all this excitement, okay, we find out we couldn't go to Mongolia to get visas, so we had to come back, all the way back to the United States. And so in the middle of all this, we bought plane tickets to come back to the United States on November 30th. And in the middle of all this, Amos's daughter Annabeth was born, and of course we were very excited about that. Then a couple days later, Amos called and said there was some complications. A couple days later, he called and he said the doctor said she's probably not going to make it more than a couple days. So at that point, we ended up, I can remember very clearly, it was on a Monday night. We actually stayed up all night to get my wife and my daughter Sharon packed. We went to the airport very early in the morning because all the flights fly out at 7 o'clock in the morning. And you got to be there 2 or 3 hours early. I mean, it's why does everybody do things like that at 4 o'clock in the morning? You know, I don't know, but if you're already going to be up till midnight, 1 or 2 o'clock. I mean, 4 o'clock, you know, getting up, you might as well not even go to bed. Amen. Well, we were up all night, you know, and we got to the airport. And to make a long story short, amen, that's the second time. I'll keep track this time. That way, then I'll know for sure how many times I say it. Then I can just tell you ahead I'm going to say it that many times. Anyhow, so we went to the airport, and of course, there were no tickets available. There were a lot of tickets available if you wanted to pay a whole bunch of more money to get your ticket switched, which we did pay a little bit extra, but not as much as they wanted to. But boy, I tell you, we had to really fight with them. And after being in Russia for actually living there for 11 years, preacher, if you could have seen me at the airport, boy, I tell you, I was, you know, Russians love to argue. And if you don't argue, you're not a man. And boy, I'll tell you, what I do when I talk to those people, I talk to them like this. Russians tell me that you guys are like this. See, I just pass it on what I hear from them. So it's not like, anyhow, that's how I do it. I always say, you know, somebody told me that you guys are like this, and, you know, I never wanted to believe it, but now I believe it. You know, that's what I tell them. I said, I never wanted to believe that you guys at the customs office, you know, the post office, the police, you know, everybody, I never wanted to believe that you guys were a bunch of jerks, but, you know, I finally believe it. You know, that's how I argue with them, you know, and then, of course, they feel bad, and I feel bad, But it was just, well, they got to fly out a little bit early, but it did cost a little bit extra money. Lydia and I, we finished getting all of our stuff together, and basically we had a yard sale with the other missionary. We sold and gave away everything that we had. We came back to Russia for the second time. We did this when we left the Magadan region. So for the second time in 3 years, we basically sold below prices, amen, garage sale prices, and sold and gave away everything we had. So twice in the last 3 years, we came back to the U.S. with only the clothes on our back. And it's, you know, I The first time was harder because it was totally unexpected. This time it was totally unexpected, but we had already done it 3 years earlier, so it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier for me. It's a lot harder for the ladies, I'll tell you that. And I'm sure Brother Rod and Debbie can relate to that. But, you know, we came back, and praise the Lord, Annabeth had already began to, she began to accept some of the medicine. She began to get better. And praise the Lord, she was really doing a lot better by the time we got back. But at this point now, Annabeth has been already home over 3 weeks, and she's doing a whole lot better. And right now, basically, my wife is at home. She got the flu. She has a hard time with the dampness. She has allergies and sinuses, and she has a hard time. She gets the flu bug a lot when she comes back for the winter here. But right now, we are in the process. It's already been 3.5 years since our third term, so we just came back. We're going to do a short furlough. Lord willing, we'll go up to Alaska this summer. Lydia, our youngest daughter there, will get her GED this summer, and she'll go to Heartland Baptist College with James. Our son James is there in the middle of his second year, and our son James tonight is in Russia. How about that? You see, he was gonna come to Russia and be with the family for Christmas, and the family is in Ohio. But, you know, I told James and the other missionary, that's actually in charge of the church, they left shortly after we did just to do regular furlough. But I told James, you know, he asked, what should I do? And he actually came back to Cleveland for Thanksgiving, got to see Annabeth. And basically I told James, I said, you know, you already got your tickets. You might as well go. You could be a real encouragement and a challenge to the folks there in Russia. And, of course, he's there. Having a great time. He'll be back to Oklahoma, Lord willing, this Saturday, and getting ready for the second term of his second year. He's already in his second year there at college, and he is having a great time. Our son James is very quiet. Amos was always very loud, very outgoing. James was always kind of shy, kind of quiet. But if you know Brother Sam Davison at all, he has really brought James out of that shyness. James is not shy, and of course, he's 6'3", 200 pounds. He has nothing to be shy about, amen? And in fact, when there was another young fellow there, Daniel, had come over from Kansas to visit us, and Daniel was flying out of the airport, and the customs people and the airlines began to give Daniel a hard time about having too much luggage, which they do this all the time, and they have everything written on their internet, their website. You know, you're allowed one carry-on baggage of 20 kilograms, 44 pounds, and you're allowed one carry-on bag of 10 kilograms, or 22 pounds. Daniel was within the limits, but they said he had to pay for his carry-on baggage. And our son James, I wish I could have seen it myself, he just went up to him and said, here's the paperwork. It's written in both Russian and English. What's the matter? Can't you read? The guy's got one check-in bag under 20 kilograms. He's got one carry-on bag under 10 kilograms. What's the problem here? And he was talking to him in Russian, too. And I mean, he speaks better Russian than they do sometimes. And man, I tell you what, like I said, 6'3", 200 pounds, and he's got it in Russian and English. And they looked at all that, and they looked at him, and they said, okay, go right ahead. I'm kind of short. I'm a little bit over 200 pounds, but I'm kind of short, and probably like kind of like your preacher there. They just kind of look at, oh, man, who's this guy? What's he doing over here, you know? But I am talking to him in Russian, and we got the paperwork both in Russian and English, and they finally let us go through. But they still want us to pay extra for our baggage, amen? All right, Proverbs chapter 20, and we're going to look at verse 4, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4, and I praise the Lord for the opportunity to be here tonight. We love your pastor and his family. We love the church here, and we had a really good time here our last time visiting about a year ago. But you know, I love being in Russia, and I am so glad the Lord allowed us to spend just over 3 years in a village called Ust-Omchug, where one winter from mid-November all the way to mid-March, we only had about half a dozen days that were warmer than 40 below zero. And I see already some of you shaking your head back there. You know where I'm going, right? More than half a dozen days warmer than 40 below zero. That means all the rest of the days were colder than minus 40. All right. Now, In our apartment, inside our apartment, it was only 36 degrees. Now, folks, I'm like a little kid, you know, I'm running around, I'm having a great time. My wife, that's why she's homesick tonight with the flu probably, she just got so wore out from all that cold weather, I don't know, but it was actually 36 degrees in our apartment because of all the broken hot water pipes that they had, and also the electricity. We had electric heaters, but we could only plug in two of them if they were kept on the lower setting, because when we put them on the medium or the high setting, they would pop all the circuit breakers out in the hallway, even though we had a bigger meter put in and bigger circuit breakers and all that stuff. We still couldn't keep the heaters warm enough to get it above 36 in our apartment. It was so cold. My son, one night, he put a half-filled glass of Coca-Cola in a glass, and he put it on the windowsill, and he woke up in the morning, and it was frozen solid. Now, that's awesome, isn't it, guys? Man, don't you just, man, I can see some of these guys. Man, don't you just want to go to a place like that, huh? Look at Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Tonight I want to speak briefly on plowing in the cold. Plowing in the cold. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good day that you've given us. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here. And Father, as we enter this new year, 2008, Father, it is cold and it is snowy outside. But Father, I pray that you'd help us to see that we have a work to do. And Father, I pray that you would not help the petty things in life stop us. Whether it's people that want to stop us, whether it's even family members sometimes want to stop us from doing the work of God, or whatever it is, even the weather, as mentioned here in our text. God, I pray that you'd not help us not to let the devil stop us. Father, there's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of people in the world lost and dying without Christ. Father, I pray you'd help us to do all we can to see as many people get saved this year, Lord, as we possibly can help. Father, I just pray you bless and help in the message tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I could tell you, believe me, we could be here till morning, and I could tell you just story after story after story about how we took these long trips, and even a couple times they even hitchhiked in the cold, passing out literature, and some of the things we used to do. I can tell you about the time that we drove across the Kalama River, which they built a big hydroelectric dam. And across that river at one point at the reservoir, it was 11 kilometers across, almost 7 miles across. And we drove across that in one winter when it was more than 60 below zero because there was a small village on the other side. And we went in there and we passed out literature to those people. I could tell you about several trips that a little bit farther to the north there on that same Kalama River. We actually had to travel almost 60 miles where there really wasn't a road. You couldn't drive it in the summer because it was almost like swampland or muskeg or whatever they call it up in Alaska and up in that area. But it's like swampy, marshy area, and you actually can't drive through it. I've seen, heard where guys try to get through there in a six-wheel drive semi-truck driving in the bed of the river, and they'll hit a hole and actually lose the whole truck. Will actually sink down into the muck and the mire. But so what you have to do, you have to go in the wintertime, and across, again, you have to cross the Kalama River right when you get to the end. It's almost 60 miles off the road, and you're following a path made by a bulldozer. I'm serious. You know, have you ever followed in the path of a bulldozer that packed down the snow and it's all frozen, and again we're talking temperatures more than 60 below zero. But the reason they do that is they have a gold mine in there. A gold mine. You say, why? You know, everybody asks me, they must not do anything up there in the wintertime. Well, you'd be surprised how much work they do because of gold. People will take great risk for gold. How many people will go to great risk for God? You know, to be honest with you, preacher, I look at the Weeks family and I look at the Mickey family.
Yes.
What an honor.
Yes.
What an honor. Risky? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Could possibly die? Oh, yeah. Yeah. But you know what, folks? My son, Amos, pulled out of a shopping store in Parma, Ohio.
Yeah.
And almost got hit by a car.
Right.
In fact, he slammed on his brakes, and that car hit another car, plowed right into another car right beside him. If my son Amos hadn't have been paying attention, fortunately, praise the Lord, for once in his life he paid attention, amen? No, I'm just kidding. But if you know Amos, you'd say amen. But anyhow, Amos saw the lady, slammed on his brakes, and she went right in front of him and plowed right into another car. Folks, it's risky to drive around town here. I'll bet it's risky driving around town here. But you know what? When the preacher called me yesterday, you know, and said, we're expecting to have a bunch of snow and all this stuff. I said, well, preacher, you know, whatever you want to do. But my two girls, Sharon and Lydia, are staying at Bob and Hannah's out in Deerfield. I got to go pick them up Wednesday night. We were going to meet at church. So that way it's kind of halfway for both of us. And I said, if you're not having church either way, I got to drive right past you to go to Deerfield to get my girls. So I got to come this way anyhow. You know, I look at this, and I can remember there was a couple guys. Maybe you know Clayton McCurdy. I don't know if you heard of him. He was later than Brother Rod there at Massillon. Yeah. But there was a couple of them guys that were from Fairbanks, Alaska, and they were going to Massillon. One day they got a big snowstorm in Massillon. I think it was on a Friday night or something. And they came and they said, nobody can leave the campus. Everybody's grounded or whatever. You have to stay here. Nobody can go out in the snow. You know, you can't drive around. You got to stay here. And after classes, they began to get their, you know, jeans and all that stuff on. They were going to go out and get some pizza. And somebody said, hey, you can't go out. We've all been grounded. We can't, nobody can leave. And finally, they said, look, this might be a snowstorm for you folks from Ohio. But for us being from Alaska, especially Fairbanks, Alaska, we would be embarrassed if our friends from Alaska knew that we had to stay here because you got 3 or 4 inches of snow. And they said, we'll take the demerits. We're going for pizza. And that's what they did. Okay? Look at this verse. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Now, I want you to see something very important here. The cold is not really stopping him. The sluggard, look at the next two words, will not. He doesn't want to. He is using the cold as an excuse. Man, I need an excuse to stay home tonight. Ah, we got a little bit of snow. Praise the Lord, I don't have to go. Or how about Sunday night? Oh, the Browns got a chance for the playoffs. Maybe I'll... Boy, I'm... Man, I feel warm, preacher. Maybe I should stay home from church tonight. I don't even know how the Browns did Sunday night. Amen. Praise the Lord. How about that? Let me just cut in here a little bit. We were in Russia. We opened up a package one time, and my wife's sister from Indiana put the funny papers in there, okay? We're reading Tank McManera. I don't even know if he's still in the paper. And it said in there, he's yelling at a bunch of football players, and he says, you guys haven't even gained 1,000 yards rushing all year, and that includes your move to Baltimore. So we knew who they were talking about. Of course, the crowd that moved to Baltimore is back in Cleveland and all that stuff, so everybody's happy. And now they got a team in both places. Amen? Okay, wow, great. But the sluggard will not plow. Now, folks, I know snow plowing is hard work, snow shoveling. I got out there and shoveled about half of my driveway, and I just went around the cars a couple, you know, to clear a good path around the cars, you know, then I went across so on our steps and down the sidewalk a little bit. So then I made a little path. My wife said, why don't you put a little path there so the mailman can walk through there? So I did that a little bit. Then I started, and then I still got about 10 or 12 feet down to the sidewalk, and then I got another section out to the street. And I just kind of did the edges so I knew where I could go off and on at. And then I just said, the rest of it's going to melt by Friday anyhow, so what's the difference? So I didn't fool with that. I didn't waste too much time. But I tell you what, I worked up a sweat out there today. You'd be happy with me. I got the, by the sweat of your face, shall ye eat bread. Amen. The sluggard will not plow. Now, I don't know what kind of excuse people are using today. They're using a lot of different excuses to keep them out of church. They're using a lot of different excuses to keep them from serving God. But look at the consequences. The consequences of not plowing. The consequences of not working. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. One day we're all going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to ask us, what have you done for me? What have you done for me? Therefore shall he beg and harvest. He's going to want something to tell the Lord or something to show the Lord. This is what I've done. Lord, I haven't done much, but there's some Russian people here that are here because we've been plowing in the cold in Russia. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. Saved? Yeah. Yeah. You can't lose your salvation, but I'll tell you what, you're going to be embarrassed when you don't have anything to give the Lord, to show the Lord that you've done. Do you love the Lord tonight? Can you show me by how much you're working for the Lord? Sometimes I wish we could be like the Jehovah Witnesses and tell them, if you don't pass out so many tracts, you're not going to make it. You know? Last time, let me ask you, do you love the Bible? How much time do you spend reading it? How much time do you spend studying it? Last time I preached on writing it out. Amen. The preacher called, he was so excited about that. I'm still reading it, and I'm still writing it out. Amen. Amen. I can show you how much I love the Bible by how much time I spend in the Bible each day. Therefore shall he beg in harvest, and have nothing. Go over with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. People say, what is wrong with our churches today? I'm going to show you right here. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12. And we'll read verse 11 also. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many, look at this, shall wax cold. Can I tell you tonight that there is a cold that is far worse than physical cold? People ask me, how, you know, I was talking with some people earlier this week. There's no way that you can drive a vehicle in 60 below zero weather. I said, you're absolutely right. But we did it. How? Well, I mean, Russian vehicles running that stuff. That's what they make them for. But, you know, a lot of people say, man, do you know how risky that is? Take a trip where the nearest town's more than 100 miles away, and there's nothing in between. In fact, it's so bad, there was a school bus with about 25 to 30 kids in it. The bus broke down, and the driver and everyone froze to death. When it's more than 60 below zero weather, a half an hour is about all you got. Seriously. But you know, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Yeah. Can I tell you, folks, there is a coldness that has come over a lot of our churches. Yes, yes. And I understand that the outside world is cold. You know, the wickedness is abounding on the outside world. You know, I was reading the other day in Deuteronomy, it says, by the shedding of blood, the land is defiled. Talking about the land that the Israelites were going to be taking over, but also that if they would, if Israel would shed innocent blood, that by the shedding of blood, the land is defiled. God said, listen to this, God said there's only one way to cleanse the land, by the shedding of blood of those that shed the blood. I would not want to be a doctor that performs abortion and then stand before God on Judgment Day. Amen. I don't even know. I've been out of the country for a long time. I don't even know how many millions of unborn babies have been killed. It's probably almost 100 million. Almost 100 million. Do you realize Stalin, probably the worst butcher this world has known, Stalin killed over almost 100 million people in the Great Revolution there in Russia. Do you know there are a lot of Russians that would like Stalin to come back and be their president? Because they want a strong Russia. And they might get that in Putin. The government's just about going back there. Boy, I tell you, I saw, if you can ever get it, preacher, there's a DVD out called Epicenter by Joel Rosenberg talking about the president of Iran. The president of Iran says he has been in communication with the next imam, which is like the Messiah for the Islamic people. He wants to come back to the earth and rule and reign for the Islamic people. But he says before that can happen, there are two things that need to happen: world chaos and the annihilation of Israel. They are trying to get nuclear weapons in Iran, and the president has promised he said the first thing we will do is bomb Israel. Folks, can I tell you, the devil, more than at any time in his existence, his hatred for God is so strong, what he wants to do is annihilate the human race. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of man acts cold. Folks, our family, we are shocked at just some of the things we've seen on TV. Just, you know, you're watching a football game or something at the hospital. We were at the hospital watching some of the games when Annabeth was still in the hospital, and some of the commercials that were on some of the wickedness, some of the ungodliness. You can't listen to radio anymore. I used to listen to Rush and all those guys. You can't listen to those guys anymore. It's getting so wicked. The profanity that is allowed now on the radio wasn't allowed just a couple years ago. And then, you know what really was a shock to me? We came back to America and we started hearing things like, you know, this public school, they won't allow the kids to have a nativity set anymore at the Christmas on the public school property. The kids in the school aren't allowed to say Merry Christmas anymore, and the kids aren't allowed to sing Christmas carols anymore because they want to get rid of Jesus Christ. I tell you what, our church made up a Christmas track, and I grabbed a bunch of them, and I still got quite a few left. You know, I'm still passing them out. I'm still telling people. Even today, I stopped at the Burger King up here. I gave the lady a track, told her Merry Christmas. Amen. And, you know, and I said, I know a lot of people think Christmas is over, but folks, it's just beginning. Yeah. You want to argue with me? This is year 2008. Something happened back there 2008 years ago that changed everything. That changed everything. But you know what, folks? As it says in Revelation 2 about the church of Ephesus, he said, you've been a great church. You've done a lot for the Lord. You've done a lot of great works. But he said, I have somewhat against you because you've left your first love. Remember when you first got saved, how excited you were? Yeah. All your family thought you're a fanatic. Yeah. My little brother, he said to me, well, you're going to church now. Let's see what you're doing in 6 months. It's been 29 years, praise God. Amen. When I first told my family, we're going to go to Siberia. My dad was in the Navy in Korea. And he said, you'll starve to death. Look at me. We're starving to death, ain't we, preacher?
Amen.
Because iniquity shall abound. Can I say this? Iniquity is abounding in America today.
Yes.
Iniquity is abounding
yes.
in America. And can I tell you this? Iniquity is abounding in our churches.
Yeah.
In our churches. I have heard of a couple preachers where pornography from the internet has come into the church, come into preachers' homes, destroyed families. I've heard of a couple of them already just in the last couple weeks. Because iniquity shall abound. The love of many shall wax cold. It's awful quiet, isn't it? You know, the Bible talks about Jesus, because thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. See, there's a love and hate relationship. You need to love the Lord. We need to love the sinners, amen, but we need to hate what they're doing, okay? Because thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore the Lord thy God hath anointed thee, listen to this, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness. And listen to this last part. Above thy fellows. Do you ever wonder why some preachers just seem to have more of God than others? He loves righteousness and he hates iniquity. He loves righteousness and he hates iniquity. You know, people say, you know, tonight a couple people shook my hand and said, "Oh man, you got warm hands." Yeah, I like to keep a fire burning in here.
Amen.
People say, how can you stand the cold? Well, physically, warm clothes, amen. The first cold, physical cold, you gotta have warm clothes. And God knew what he was doing when he put fur on the animals, and praise the Lord, they don't have any greenies in Russia, and they allow us to wear fur, amen. Amen. Man, I love sheepskin. I love the moose and the caribou hide boots. And I had a big old furry Wolverine hat. And I grew a big bushy beard. And the first 4 years in Russia, I kept it nice and trim so it looked nice and dignified, you know. But then I got bronchitis and all that stuff, you know, every year. And in 99, I went back to Russia and I grew that thing out about this big. No bronchitis, no strep throat all year, all winter long. I could be outside 60 below zero and there'd be an ice, layer of ice on the outside. But next to my skin, my face was nice and warm. It's a no-brainer for me. So the next 4 years, I had a long beard and no bronchitis, no strep throat all winter long. Now, I know it's the Lord, okay? But when David told Joab and those that they got beat in one of the wars there, you know, and they shaved their hair, they cut their beards, and David said, "Tarry at Jericho till your beards be grown." I'll just throw that out there. I'm just a personal opinion, but anyhow, I'll just throw that out there for you. But you know, when I came, I had my beard was already growing out there pretty good. We were going to go to Mongolia, come back for another year in Russia. But you know, when I came back to the States, I want to fit in. You know, I'm trying to be nice and fit in and all that stuff. So I cut my beard off. I don't think people are ready for that yet. But you know, because see, the problem is, if John the Baptist came in the back door tonight. Yeah, you heard the preacher. Oh my. Okay. You know what Jesus said about John? Listen to this. We're talking about this little light of mine, okay? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Jesus said about John, he was a burning light and a shining light. Okay, two things about light. You go up and grab one of those light bulbs. Man, it's hot. It's real hot. Okay, it'll burn you, all right? Burning. And then it also gives out a lot of light. Okay? Let me ask you a question. If we were to take your temperature tonight, physically, you're about 98.6. Maybe there might be somebody here sniffling, maybe a little bit, got a little bit of a fever. My wife's got the flu tonight. She might have a little bit of a fever. But you know what? If you were to take the spiritual temperature of John the Baptist, he was hot. He was hot. If you were to take the spiritual temperature of people like Hudson Taylor, David Livingston, you know, some of these great missionaries, Charles Spurgeon, some of these great missionaries of the past, Let me tell you something. They were hot. And talking about the fire in the temple, or in the tabernacle, the Bible says that the fire shall never go out. The fire shall never go out. Let me ask you a question. How's your fire burning tonight? How's your fire burning tonight? Because iniquity shall abound. The love of many shall wax cold. I thank the Lord that 29 years ago, he saved me. I was stationed in Jacksonville, Florida. Got invited to Trinity Baptist Church and got saved, baptized, began to serve the Lord. After I got out of the Navy, was in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And shortly after that, met a president of a Bible college, came over to Ohio, went to college. And later on, there's a lot of other stuff going on there, but praise the Lord, I got invited to the Bible Institute there at Cleveland Baptist from Brother Bruce Musselman. Graduated in 92, and I tell you, we've been hot on the trail ever since.
Amen.
You know, one of the greatest things, you know, as I read the Bible, I think about Moses in the tabernacle. They finished, when they finished building the tabernacle, in Exodus chapters 39 and 40, when they finished the tabernacle, the glory of God came down. And Moses and Aaron, they couldn't even go into the tabernacle because of the glory of God. You know what I long to see in our churches today? You know what I long to see in my own life today? The glory of God. What's stopping it? We are. When we allow sin in our lives, we hinder God from working.
You're right.
And what we need to get back to is old-fashioned repentance, old-fashioned confession of sin. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that's not even saved yet.
Right.
I was in a church just last Sunday. Young fella, Sunday morning, 17 years old, been in the church almost his whole life. And as we were standing out in the back foyer out there, shook his hand. Man, sharp-looking fella, shook his hand. I said, let me ask you, are you saved? He smiled, said, nope. Man, I was shocked. Why not? He knows all the answers. Can I tell you something? Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. America's in a mess today because a lot of the churches are in a mess today.
You're right.
I look at the picture on the back there about the preacher's vision for the future. I thought you guys would have been in there already. Really? Maybe next time. What's going to happen? What is stopping you from serving God? What is stopping me from serving God? You know, preacher, I still read my Bible every month. But you know what? I learned very early that I would have to get up early if I was going to do that. And most mornings, if you call me at 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm up reading my Bible. Because it takes me about 2.5, almost 3 hours to get through my Bible reading in the morning. And that's not even half of the studying that I try to do every single day. You say, why do you do that? Because I got a fire in here that I want to keep lit. And I want to take, like at our candlelight service we had in Cleveland, I've got a little light. And what I would like to do is just go around, try to light your light, and light your light, and light your light, and help your light to shine brighter. Right now, we're missionaries to Russia, but right now, we're missionaries to America.
Amen.
I would love to see this church just get fired up and say, folks, I know it's January. I know it's cold outside. But you know what, folks? I also know this, that if you keep moving, if you're outside and it's cold, you keep moving. You know when you get cold? When you kind of stand around and, well, you know, I'm just going to whine a little bit and I'm going to fuss a little bit and, well, you know, it's getting cold and, well, you know, I just don't know and, you know, does the preacher really know what he's doing and, you know, I thank God that he allowed me to serve him in a place that we had people that would walk to church Some people walk more than a half an hour each way. Sunday morning, church to church and home. Sunday night, to church and back. And sometimes they walked more than a half an hour each way when it was more than 60 below zero. So that when I came to America, and I was going to say, yeah, I know it's cold out. How many of you, I don't know, how many of you live within a 15-minute walk from church? You know, how many of there are you? There's a few of you that live about less than half an hour walk to church. Okay, let me challenge you, okay? On the next time that it gets, let's say, 10 or 20 below zero, okay? Oh, it's so cold, I don't think I want to take the car out today. Okay, just walk to church. You say, man, you got to be nuts. Yeah, amen. But you know what? You know what? You know what I tell the people in Russia? When you walk to church on those cold mornings, pray for us. Pray for us. Pray that God would give you a hot heart, that God would keep you warm on the inside. Amen? And if God can keep you warm on the inside, I believe he could help us be warm on the outside. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the good night that you've given us. Father, I pray. I thank you for the attentiveness of the people. And Father, I pray that you'd help us not to allow sin to have dominion in our lives. Father, I pray, God, if there's something wrong in our lives, Father, that you would help us to repent of our sins, help us to confess our sins, help us to turn from our sins, and help us to look fully in the face of Jesus Christ, asking for forgiveness. And Father, I pray that we will not be like the sluggard that is looking for any excuse to stay home. But God, that you would help us, Lord, to serve you with all of our hearts because we love you for all that you have done for us. Father, I pray for Brother Skyver. I pray for the Bethel Baptist Church. God, I pray that you would just fill this church, Lord, with your love and your power and your glory. God, that this church would not just be a shining light, but Father, that they would be a burning and a shining light. Father, I pray now that you bless the remainder of this service, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Preacher.
I want to read the scripture and we're giving it. I marked these verses yesterday, Brother Jim. Psalms 101. Listen to these verses I marked in my Bible. A froward heart, verse 4. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Talking about being cold. Whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off, and him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. Watch this. Verse 6. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, the faithful, that they may dwell with me, and he that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. We have a cold country because a lot of us are just cold. And America needs missionaries. I thought, and Germany is bad. I was over in Germany, and Europe has just turned a complete cheek against God. But I'm going to tell you, America, who's supposed to be Christianized, is not a whole lot of difference. And mine eyes, shall be upon the faithful of the land. They may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. The reason people don't serve God no more, they don't have a perfect walk. They don't walk with God. That's why we don't see it. We say, why? What's wrong with it? What's happened? The church's lives are not right. Preachers' lives aren't right. Hello. And he that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. I underlined those yesterday as I read the scriptures. And America, I love America. It's the greatest country in the world. But as you talked, as we talked yesterday, America's in trouble. America's got such a cold heart, they'd elect a man like Bill Clinton. And now they're going to elect a wicked one. And I'm not talking Democrat or Republican. I know some of you think I'm, but it's not, it's just wicked. And that's because it's a reflection, because people aren't preaching. And America's in the churches, even in the fundamental churches, it's scary, Brother Jim. They like the fuzzy-wuzzy. Even in the fundamental churches now, they don't like the old John the Baptist stuff. They like that old fuzzy-wuzzy, make me feel good with a smile. Well, I hope we get back to the old-time religion. Amen? Let's bow our heads and every head bowed and every eye closed. Deborah's going to play, Rosie. I wonder, with our heads bowed tonight before we go home, here's a missionary that's been in Russia for 12 years almost. He loves America, and he's from America. But he can see how bad America's turned from God. I can't listen to the music on the radio stations because I can't understand the words they're saying, and the beat's horrible. Brother Jim mentioned the TV, so full of filth and cussing, you can't even stand it anymore. We better get in that old King James Bible and start to study it. Brother Jim, I believe the Lord's coming back. And I believe America's going to see some in the very soon coming days. I think Christians are going to be really challenged to walk in faith. I wonder tonight, though, before we leave, I'm not talking about being a Baptist or a Catholic or a Lutheran or whatever name you want to put on it. But if you would die tonight, do you know if you die, if you'd go to heaven? That's why Jesus came. Jesus came and died and rose that third day to give every person that would put their faith in him forgiveness of their sins and eternal life in heaven. When I was 20 years old, I asked Christ to save me. I asked him to come in my heart and be my Savior. I had religion, I had baptism, but I didn't have Jesus. There's a difference. Don't die and go to hell being religious. Have you ever saw yourself a lost sinner? Have you ever realized that Christ came just for you, was born in Bethlehem just for you? That he walked on this earth perfect, holy, without spot, just for you, that he died on Calvary's cross, shed his blood just for you, that on the third day, just like he said he would, he rose from the grave just for you. And you need to realize personally, you need to invite him into your heart. Trust him. It's what the Bible calls about being born again. The missionary talked about that, how he was born again. If you've never been born again, I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about, do you see yourself a lost sinner knowing Christ died to save your soul from hell? And you've asked Christ to save your soul from hell and to forgive you and to come in your life. You've embraced Christ as Savior. It's got nothing to do with religion. It's got you and him on a personal, knowing Christ as Savior personally. How many can say, preacher, I have personally invited Jesus into my heart. I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure. Thank you. You may put him down. Would there be any tonight? I didn't see every hand go up. I could have missed some. You'd say, Pastor, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to miss out on heaven. I don't want to die in my sins and go to hell. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that tonight, just raise your hand. Pray for me. I'd like to be saved. I'd like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven. Anyone like that, young or old? I'd like to know. Would you? I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you, but I pray for you. It won't get you saved, but let God know your concern. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes in must believe that he is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Maybe you're a Christian tonight. And you just say, Preacher, I'll be honest with you. My heart's been waxed cold lately. Been having a, I don't care about too many things anymore. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Pray for me. Heavenly Father, help us to have warm hearts. Help me to have warm hearts. Oh, Lord, set us a fire. Set us aglow. Help us to do what we can while time is still here. One day they're going to close the doors in Russia. But one day they're going to close the doors in America too. I believe Russian doors will close before America. But Father, I don't believe Americans realize we're not far behind Russia before they close our church doors. Unless we, Lord, I think the only thing we could save America would be a national revival. A national revival where the Spirit of God would move up and down the cities and get in the lives and homes of people. Lord, we see a total turnabout. Father, I pray that you'll bless everyone here tonight. Help them to look to you. Strengthen their faith. Help them to use their life for you in 2008. And Lord, bless our missionaries. Thank you for each one. Thank you for Brother Jim Pranger and his family here tonight. Lord, we've got missionaries all over the world. Please bless every one of them. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. What page are you on, Dave?